Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You were a history major for a while. You should know how the Trojan horse worked.
The completely historically accurate Trojan horse? Yeah.
Oh, are there questions about the historical accuracy of the Trojan horse?
It was the Iliad. It's not real.
No, get out!
Yeah.
I always assume this is a real thing.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Look, I didn't know that the Trojan horse wasn't supposedly historical, and Beards didn't know what segment this was. We all make mistakes. I probably would let that one go, Beards, if that liner wasn't highlighting. I'm not ashamed of it. I just was however many days old I was there when I realized. Well, when you told me that it's just from the Iliad and not a real thing. We learn new things here all the time in the Zone. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly with you. Jason Anderson will be back later next week. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest still with us right now. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being here still.
You know, I drove by a gas station the other day. It's one of the ones that had the dinosaurs out front.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, is that why I, for like the first, I think, 30 years of my life, thought that oil came from dead dinosaurs?
Does it not?
Does it? I mean, I don't...
No, so this is a great question.
When I was a kid, I thought for some reason that oil came from dinosaurs, and I don't know why I thought that.
Man, that's really mean to the spirit of those dinosaurs.
Well, so this is the thing. So I do think that that sounds like a urban legend that I've definitely heard before, right? And I wonder if it's just like, you know, how all water at some point was probably dinosaur pee. I don't think that's factually correct either, but I've definitely said that before, and I will stand by it. Because it's, you know, it's the same molecules, right? I wonder if there's like a tar pit thing there, you know, or like, oh, well, we always had the imagery of dinosaurs like in the La Brea tar pit or whatever, and oil kind of looks tarish. I really don't know. I would be terrified to, on live radio, go through all of the things that I thought I learned at a much younger age and then never had fact checked for me anywhere in the last 15 years or so.
But do you know why you can't hear a pterodactyl pee?
Because the P is silent.
That's right.
It's time for the bracket of sounds.
Trying to get a start on 2024.
Beards Market. Give Matt an early entry into next year's bracket. Here's how the bracket of sound works if you're new here. All 68 teams are associated with a piece of sound from this year in the Zone. And then as each region goes on, we have to say goodbye to the teams who were eliminated, and then eventually we will have our champion of sound associated with those original teams. And we obviously said goodbye to half the field yesterday, so it's time to say goodbye to half or so of our cuts. Weird, we're going to have to, this is going to be the whole hour, isn't it? I just realized when I said that out loud, we are going to have to.
No,
we're
a quarter, no, we're
a, technically it was only a
quarter of the field.
I was going to yell over that.
Half of our first round eliminations, a quarter of the field.
I mean, unless you want to go ahead and eliminate K-State already.
Why are you being mean to K-State?
They haven't even
played yet.
Just because.
You know what? I'm going to change. No, I don't want to change the order of things we do here because we need to make sure we actually play through these.
Yes, please.
And so we're going to start in what the normies might call the South. For us, it's the Jabroni region. And the first eliminated team in the South Jabroni region is Texas A&M Corpus Christi, represented by...
Alex Rodriguez, you stink, and I don't like you! Big Poppy, I like you, though!
It's a strong 16, but they were struck down there by Travis Kelce calling the mayor of Cincinnati a jabroni. Next down the line, we had West Virginia exit to Maryland. West Virginia, the 9 seed, represented by...
Nobody cares.
Oh! Devastating! Play it again.
Nobody cares.
Devastating. Braden Gall's Nobody Cares. It's made it into this show's lexicon, but could not make it into the second round. Next, we lost Charleston, the 12 seed, represented by...
More, 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 more. More, more, more. More, more, more. More. I got more. I need the heart out. Pour your heart out, boy.
Need more. Need more.
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 We want more. Let's do this.
There's a lot of Travis Kelce in the Jabroni region for obvious reasons, but that one eliminated by a good clip above it. We'll hear that
probably
later
underseeded,
on as well. A little underseeded, but this is a really quality tournament. The seeding committee definitely some mistakes were made. I'm sure they would admit that.
Was the SNL appearance factored into the seedings for this?
In fact, I'll answer that question for you in a couple of clips. Nope, I won't, because that one's not from yesterday. We have the Sucre song is representing Creighton, and Kelsey's monologue is representing NC State, head-to-head in the Jabroni region. So one of those teams will advance. You know what? For the first time, I'm a little bit bummed. Not really. But there's a downside to Virginia being upset, because the 4 seed in the Jabroni region has been eliminated, which means we have to say goodbye to this sound.
But we also would have accepted Uranus.
We sure would have.
That is definitely the Virginia of sound.
That's exactly what I thought at the time, and to say goodbye to them in the first weekend is certainly fitting. The next elimination we have... So all the way down at the 10 seed, Utah State, ousted by Mizzou. Utah State, represented by. Thinking about finishing your bachelor's degree?
Lord.
Take a bold step toward during bold step forward during a University of St. Mary virtual info session.
Matt,
in the first
laughing.
Ever MLB draft lottery, the Pittsburgh Steelers won the number one overall pick. The highlight of the local football world, K-State hosting TCU for college game day. As KU State. Remains a dot. What did I say, K-State?
State.
I said K-State. Wow. On the other side of the break, we'll begin to move ever closer to Chiefs press conferences. This is what happens when you don't write out your entire sports center.
It's even worse without the music.
What's so funny, Matt?
We've all been there. I've been there.
Well, I've been there a lot, as you heard. That could have been 3 times longer. I spent all of my resource points on things that weren't doing sports centers. They're getting better, but not enough to not expect there to be another version of that next year, if I'm being terribly honest. That mercifully is eliminated, as is Arizona, which means we say goodbye to the 2 seed in the Jabroni region, representing by
looks downfield. Mahomes avoids the rush. Mahomes rolling out on 3rd and 4. He's going to go for the he's got the marker. He's got the out of bounds to stop it.
Looping the right side, he gets out of bounds. Offside there,
and a flag's coming in to put him 15 yards closer.
A late hit, his body spilled out along that Cincinnati sideline.
This is a foul, unnecessary roughness, defense number 58.
And that 15 yards.
To the end of the play. 45-yard attempt. Looking for the lead. Buckner, snap, placement, Buckner's kick.
All the way, it's good.
He's got it. Kansas City in front with 3 seconds remaining.
It's a line drive. It bounces at the 24.
Retrieved by Irwin. He's going to swing it over to Taylor. Not down yet. He is now.
And it is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years.
The Kansas City Chiefs
have won it.
Heading to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years.
The Chiefs win the AFC Championship.
A tough early exit for the 2 seed.
Arizona hit an iceberg.
Not a lot of room on that life raft there.
Also, probably a good thing it's gone, because I am sure that if you're like me, and the time that I posted the pie-eating, worm-finding contest from the Ronald McDonald House featuring Derek Nottie and Harrison Butker, that I posted that in slow motion to the Titanic theme and got a cease and desist notice from Sony Music.
Well, it's probably good that we're not on Twitch right now, because we're probably safe from the from Celine Dion's people, perhaps. We say goodbye to Arizona and head over to the Kicky Leaks region. That is the Midwest. We start with Northern Kentucky, who put up a fight against Houston for a little while, but ultimately we say goodbye to the 16 seed, represented by...
It was almost a done deal, and at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him.
You're sticking with that mother... Are you serious?
It's a worthy tournament team there, but that mother bleeper is allegedly now in New Orleans, and the other mother bleeper quarterback involved there is...
Allegedly retired.
Allegedly, for the moment, retired. For now. Then in the 8-9, we said goodbye to Iowa, fittingly represented by one of the greatest cameo cons of all time.
Hey, Brian. Fran McCaffrey here. I wanted to reach out and let you know that all of us in the Hawkeye family... I'm thinking about you. Your family loves you. Your dad loves you. The Hawkeyes love you. Maybe think about making a move back to New England. But wherever you go, wherever you are, the Hawkeye family will always be with you. Go Hawks.
Hello there, Brian. Bob Stoops here saying hi. And listen, I know you've had a tough couple of 2-3 years there, but the good news is your family still supports you, buddy, especially your dad. He wants you to know that. But and even though everyone else seems to be against you, sometimes the best advice is to break free from the family business, man. Go do what you got to do. So anyhow, all the best to you and a big Boomer Sooner and good luck.
Absolutely savage cameo work by the people who set that up. And Brian Ferentz to this point is, did he end up getting a worse contract after all that? I can't remember exactly how that unfolded. Regardless, Iowa, they actually scored 75 points. I was going to make a joke about Iowa not scoring enough because that's sort of the onus of that cameo. But the basketball team actually did score, just wasn't enough defense as Auburn advances. Then down the Midwest Kicky Leagues region, we say goodbye to Texas A&M. Another little upset there as the 7 seed falls. Oh, heartbreaking. 7 seed represented by...
The horn just blew. Can I... does that mean I'm done?
Let's hear that one again, Beards, because there's a very clear Matt Derrick cameo in this one.
The horn just blew. Can I... does that mean I'm done?
Matt Derrick, we kept you here actually just so you could comment on that. Can we get an inside scoop as to the circumstances there and how Spags was feeling?
I remember Spags doing it. I don't remember what was going on at the time.
Look, in St. Joe, time moves differently and everything moves differently.
We were probably trying to...
I can tell you what happened.
The horn just blew. Can I...
I mean...
The horn blew.
The horn blew.
The horn blew.
We're probably trying to figure out if it's morning or afternoon. So look at it.
Oh, devastating that that has exited the tournament so early. But I'm frankly, this next clip, while funny, every time I hate listening to it a little bit. We say goodbye to the 15 seed Colgate, represented by...
Patrick, how are you?
How are you?
Good, good to see you on the grid here. What do you think of this atmosphere?
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. Real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paolo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else, so I'm sorry about that. Whatever.
We've all been there.
The worst... Oh, definitely. The worst part of it to me is the last chunk of it of... Oh, what's your name, sir? Cut your losses. Just say thank you and leave, and then fix that on the broadcast later. Don't let him know you thought he was Patrick Mahomes. Also, Paulo is like, how tall is he, Beards? You off the top of your head?
Like 6'10".
That's what I was thinking. I mean, nearly 7 feet. I don't know if, was it Martin Brundle? I don't know if he knows how tall your average NFL quarterback is, you know? That one just, that's a tough one.
It reaches a point where you're just like, oh yeah, you're tall.
Right, and an athlete and somebody said go over there and the hair, it's not the same, but if you're as much shorter as Martin Brundle is from Paulo Banchero, I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses. It's just, yeah.
Anybody, you know, you're that small. Anybody fat, 6'2" and over, it's
you're
the
right.
same.
Look it up anyway.
Yeah. Basketball Reference, the greatest site in the world, has him listed at 6'10", 250.
See?
There's only two to eliminate from the needed to be said region, Beards. Let's go ahead and hop there to the East, where two of those games went final yesterday. First, with the 12 seed Oral Roberts falling to Duke, we say goodbye to our 12 seed, represented by
Don Mattingly is going to argue. Now Estabrook is going to go over and talk to the other umpires. But we couldn't call it, so I just looked at Estabrook, and he finally called it. Victorino is out on a fly ball, but the umpires are going to huddle. That's a good thing, no matter what. You want to make sure you get it right. Okay. Uh-oh. The meeting looks like they're going to call it a trap. And Jim Tracy He caught the ball, Jim said. He caught the ball. He caught the blinking ball. He caught the darn ball. Oh, you're gone. He is gone. That is blinking fertilizer. I'm doing the best to translate. You got to be blinking me. The ball, he caught the ball. No way. No blinking way. No bloody way. Jim's gone, so he's spending house money now.
That's Vin Scully doing Legend. His best to translate for the listening audience.
Never another one like him.
Fertilizer. I just love how every syllable gets its own word there. You know what I mean?
Sounds like Katharine Hepburn there.
Did I? Fertilizer. That's as good as my Vin Scully gets, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we say goodbye to our 11 seed representing Louisiana, who kept it close with Tennessee, but ultimately Louisiana.
11 seed or 13 seed?
Like I said, the 13 seed Louisiana lost to Tennessee, but kept it close. The 13 seed. Definitely the 13 seed is what I'm sure I said the first time. Representing by.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis.
A loosely veiled threat by Deion Sanders and a suggestion to hit the portal if you're not Louis luggage. Then we can go to our final region, the West, the McNipples region. And we start with the 16. A toughie, but you know, a bounce by KU. 16 seed representing Howard. We lose. It's represented by.
Happy Valentine's Day. Lebo's getting his meat out
for our anniversary.
Making it sizzle.
A great one from Lebo, but unfortunately, a first round exit. We also say goodbye to our 9 seed. Illinois bounced, which means we lose this sound.
Well, I've been to a tournament before. I've never been to an ass blasting.
The McNipples region has a real
theme.
Beards, believe it or not, I was trying to come up with the word before theme. And I think just saying it has a theme is actually the way to do it. I think that's proper representation.
I just can't believe that doesn't happen in Coldwell, Kansas.
We also lose our 10 seed in the McNipples region, Boise State, represented by
Burrowhead. Yeah. I mean, we'll see you guys at Burrowhead.
I mean, Derek Carr's won here.
Carhead.
Camaro head.
Whoa. That one's also a tough early bounce, man. I was here for that. Jason didn't mean to walk into that one. Wait, hold on. Walk into what? And we also say goodbye to our 15 seed, UNC Asheville, bounced by UCLA. And we say goodbye to this sound.
That was a sponsored sports center.
Yeah.
There is no chicanery. There is no
or chicanery.
Innuendo. It's all
in your endo.
In her endo.
But now you're back because this isn't sponsored.
You say Kikuchi.
I say Kikachi.
In your endo.
Let's call this whole conversation off.
Is that the last Corey clip we have in this one? I'm sure he's probably going to make some more sound around here. But maybe. I think we say goodbye to Corey as an underseeded 15 seed there. That's what Jason wanted to put him. I don't know. Want him to get bounced early. I think we're caught up there. Eventually, we might have to make sure that we also have appropriately honored the play-in teams that were bounced. But Beards, I think we probably just do that when the others are also there. Did we ever play?
We did not eliminate the play-ins from the other day.
So we did the first 11. Oh, let's stay in the McNipples region then. You heard me. And let's say goodbye to Nevada. Yeah, Nevada was bounced. We did not have time to play that one yesterday. So we say goodbye to Nevada, who lost to Arizona in the first four.
It was Navy night at the game, so there were seamen all over the place in the stadium.
That's why you were there.
Hate to see Nate bounce out that early. And then I believe the 16 seed in the It Needed to Be Said region, Beards. In the It Needed to Be Said region, the original 16 seed, Fairleigh Dickinson, won. They're playing Purdue tonight. But that means we can say goodbye to Texas Southern in the 16 there in the Needed to Be Said region. We're represented by
the thumb UCL is a Timmy John surgery.
Because it's just a tiny one.
Just a small
no,
little
just a tiny UCL.
Well, my daughter's already having to have the surgery. She's getting Tammy John.
At Datemore and J.J. Piccolo, I should say. Need to be checking out what's going on in the Nationals farm system because Michael A. Taylor, with the injury to Soto, hurt, needs Tommy Wong.
He would, but he's having surgery on his hand. Palmy John.
Cuban-born pitcher Aroldis Chapman having surgery on his UCL. Tommy John.
Do you worry that if Chet Holmgren gets injured, he would have to have Scrawny John surgery?
My mother actually had Tommy John for real.
What was it called?
She had Mommy John.
He's going to have to mow with Tommy Lawn.
Mow my Tommy Lawn.
We end on that one. Mick, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
This show gave me a Tommy yawn. You know what I'm saying? Right.
I thank God we're Tommy gone.
I blew it.
I don't know.
I underseated that one.
I don't know if that was appropriately seated or underseated.
No,
that
was UMBC.
Simultaneously both at the same time.
That was UMBC.
That should have won the NIT. Is what it really what that one deserved. That one, unfortunately, it was just
that's number 69 right there.
Hell yeah.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
If what you're saying is true, then that means I still don't care.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Zone rolling on here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I kind of forgot we're still doing a radio show because Matt and I were trying to figure out the clocks in here. Beard, did you know that on these big clocks that we have that, I mean, Jason doesn't use them, but most of us do?
Yeah.
Just to know what time it is.
Right.
That was just a little Jason cheap shot. This middle one, there's the phases of the moon are on here.
Also, that clock's incorrect by like a good minute and a half.
That's correct. So the clocks I got in here, man.
Wow.
What time do you have it being?
12:33, 11, 12.
So it's
13.
Off by 20 seconds.
Oh.
Are your eyes okay? You said a minute and a half.
Well, it was 33 and I was only at 32, so that was all I did.
I reset these clocks.
It's still wrong.
At daylight savings to try to get us on.
How many seconds you got there?
49.
See, I'm off by 93 seconds over here.
Oh,
I'm 93 seconds behind you.
Oh, we got a break.
93-second delay over here on this side of the table.
Beards, go to break. We gotta catch up. The clocks in here are an hour and a half behind. As Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest.
And if we're currently having a waxing gibbous moon, then this is the phase of the moon.
I don't know. Hold on. Let me see what the current phase of the moon actually is. When I typed it in, I typed moon with three O's, so I was Googling the face of the moon. Well, this says we're in a waning crescent.
It does say we're in a waning crescent. So I guess it's
the
opposite.
But it could be similar, though.
It's the opposite of what you... Because I thought that the...
Wait, hold on. Which one does... Hold on, Matt. Turn your clock around here.
The dark part is the shadowing.
Right, and the unilluminated part,
I
imagine.
See, I was thinking it was the opposite.
Oh, I see.
So it is a waning crescent, yes.
We've ended up in some space talk today by accident, just based on me accidentally Googling Juju Smith sign and... Juju Smith issues a sign, and you helping us figure out what is it?
I accidentally Googled current phase of the loon, so.
But I think loon is just French for moon, right?
Not the way I spelled it.
L-U-N-E, a crescent-shaped figure formed on a sphere or plane by two arcs.
Well, L-O-O-N is not that.
It's like a crazy person, but it's also a duck type of bird. I'm currently,
but it did tell me what common loon identifications are. It's all about birds.
So currently, Mick Schaefer, who'll be joining us at some point today, he's currently blowing up the phones of myself and Beers McFly and Jason Anderson and also Corey Anderson, who is prominently featured in the Tommy John, Timmy John, Mommy John, Commie John, et cetera, bit. And Mick is asking how on earth I ended up being a 16 seed play-in game. I get it. I said on air, I feel like that's underseeded, despite being on the selection committee. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know. Jason has responded from Disney World. Win more games.
No, that's fair. Completely fair.
That is the best possible defense. I don't know. Look, it's a great field, and now Mick's gonna come in here and he's gonna be upset. He's gonna be hard to work with, as ever, complaining about being underseeded. And I get it, I do. The real Oklahoma State of this tournament.
He's got a fair point.
A couple of Oklahoma State fans upset about the seating. I get it. Matt, since we're still here and we actually like have a little breath of time, the games have begun, by the way. Michigan State and USC right now is tight and a 5-point game at the moment. We'll keep you posted on all that as the day goes on. As, of course, March Madness here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's brought to you by Xfinity, Blue Chew, CBD American Shaman, First Federal Bank, JPA Roofing, and Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. And, of course, we appreciate all of them for helping us bring you March Madness here on your home for it, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Were they very proud of the last half hour?
I think they all have to be.
I think they have to be.
Anyone who specifically advertises on this show at this point, I hope, understands the bracket of sound is a staple at this point, really. This predates me, you know, by years, so... if you're not down for the bracket of sound, I don't know what we can do for you.
Now I'm watching these games tied to the sounds. So
right.
I'm not caring about the teams as much.
So like, let me.
I'm rooting for Danny Shelton.
We really should get a clean bracket. And Jason made these, so we need to see if he can tweet one out or something, because people should be able to watch and root along
exactly
for their favorite sound. I'm going to see if we can get that. I'll see. He's in the most magical place on earth, and I'm going to try to get him to email me a PDF. But right now, we have in the 3-14 game at the half, Cynthia Freeland talking about big booties going up against Danny Shelton cursing in his opening press conference. That is a great matchup.
Yeah. I mean, that Danny Shelton sounds, that's Final Four material.
And it's going to have to make that run as a 14 seed because the committee is either not very good at their job, had too many good pieces of sound, was super drunk the whole time.
Danny Shelton's the 14 seed?
Danny Shelton is the 14 seed
there. Oh, man, I got some serious bones with the committee now.
I
know that wasn't you because you're on my side here.
No, I'm with you. I really was campaigning for Danny Shelton to continue climbing up the seed chart. But since we do have a breath of time that I would love to continue talking some Chiefs football, I haven't even asked you about Charles Omenihu. You've been here for an hour and a half, and that's the first time I think I've said his name
I believe it is.
To you. Because I'm fascinated about the Chiefs pass rush. I'm fascinated about specifically his fit in it, because I think it could be in any number of positions, which seems excellent. And you got to hear from him yesterday in the opening press conference, his introductory press conference, along with Juwan Taylor, spread out over the course of 2.5 hours. So what did you hear from Omenihu, and how are you feeling about where that signing puts the Chiefs pass rush now?
Yeah, listening to him, I think you certainly get a sense about why the Chiefs were going that direction. You know, clearly was a guy that they liked. I think he even said that he thought the Chiefs were going to draft him in 19. They were that interested in him. I think you certainly can see the effect that San Francisco had on him. That was a very good system to be in. I mean, you get D'Amico Ryans there.
Mm-hmm.
They get a great defensive line group there. You know, get to play along Nick Bosa and Samson and Ebukam. I mean, you've got some really good guys to learn from. And it certainly seems like it had an influence on him. And he said, you know, he pointed out he was kind of getting starter playing time. I mean, they rotated those guys through pretty well. And he also played a lot inside. So, to me, it is very easy to see him being one of those guys that can line up in multiple positions that Joe Colan and Steve Spagnuolo like to do. You can see him playing on the outside on first and second downs, kicking inside to be an additional pass rusher on third down. If you're flipping him and Chris Jones around, I think you can do that. So, to me, I mean, they like long, lean, flexible guys, and you look at... Look at Charles. I mean, that's him. I mean, he's tall. He's lean. Got plenty of length. I mean, he's been an effective edge. He's good size. He can kick inside. He's comfortable doing all of that. There's a lot to see why he fits into a Spagnuolo defense.
I figured that he and Joe Colan were popping bottles after that signing was reported because of all of that moving part. And it's not quite positionless football. Like, that's probably it's an exaggeration to some extent. But it is so much fun. When you do have the ability to find, you've got four athletes out there, and you can hunt your matchups. If it's not positionless, it's matchup hunting, and that is thrilling to me. And I don't know if the entire league is moving more and more that direction. I think I might have asked Craig Sad about that yesterday, or maybe it was Tyshir Tuzad. We've talked about that a little bit. I don't know if it's for a league-wide change or if other teams are kind of catching on now, but the Chiefs have so thoroughly embraced that it kind of feels like they might be a little bit ahead of the curve.
I mean, we talk about the 49ers doing that.
Yes.
And I mean, they've been true embracers of that. And I do think the Chiefs have been kind of underrated in that, and it's Spagnuolo and his concept, because, you know, it's... I think it's interesting the way that the Chiefs go about it, because I think they go about it in a little bit different way than the 49ers do. But I think there's some legitimacy to it. I mean, the Chiefs do. I mean, they absolutely look for matchups. They're looking to see where they can get the best possible matchup. And the problem is that, hey, every once in a while you get got. When you do that, you're going to get some situations where there's going to be some spots. Oh, wait a minute. Is Jamar Chase being, you know, guarded by a defensive end? It's going to happen.
Right.
But more often
point.
Than not, you know, you feel like you're going to win those matchups if you go matchup hunting. And that's what the Chiefs do. And they try to find guys who are flexible enough to do that. I mean, you know, at the cornerback position, they want guys who can play inside and out. At safety, they want guys who can play up on the line. They are just as comfortable as they are in the back end. Because, you know, I go back to, looking at the Chiefs' defense that was playing its best under Spags. Mm-hmm. I think you go back to 2019. And in 19, they had, I mean, that flexibility everywhere. I mean, you know, you had Tyrann Mathieu, you had Kendall Fuller, who were two guys who were really capable of playing any position in the secondary. And, you know, I don't know if they have as much. I think they're getting there. I think Justin Reed and I think what Brian Cook you're going to see has got a lot of that flexibility, too. So Charles Domenehue absolutely fits into that. I mean, and you know, and Todd asked a question. It was just a very legitimate question that, you know, he had an incident in January that I think that the Chiefs do need to talk about what their vetting was with it.
Yes.
And everything. It is an alleged incident at this point. So we'll see. But I think it was a very legitimate question that Todd asked. And, you know, and Charles said he can't speak to it right now. And I get that, too, since the legal process is still playing out. But I do think it's something that, you know, the Chiefs need to address and Charles will need to address down the road.
Yeah, we talked about it the first day after the signing, but if you haven't seen any of that, it was a misdemeanor domestic violence allegation. The police were called there, and there are a lot of details that were reported by some of the local stations at the time, if you want to look into it at all. It's unpleasant, but we haven't heard anything from the Chiefs on that front yet, and like you said, Lebo asked about it yesterday. He kind of declined to talk about it. It's weirdly so recent that that might be a legitimate thing to say I can't talk about it because it just happened, but also because it just happened, it's very relevant now. This isn't the same thing as even, you know, asking Frank Clark about what happened in college and his presser when he was introduced here, which he was and took those questions, and I think that was fair at the time as well, but this was just in January, so I'm going to make the impossible transition just back to football, because it's a very serious, real element of it that I also don't have any insight or analysis on. So I'll go back to something he talked about that he was more willing to speak on yesterday, which is one place where he is the versatility and the ability to go all across the defensive line is very Chiefy, Spagsy, all of that. But one thing that he talked about when he was asked how he wins, you know, and where he has his biggest strengths, it's in a place that I don't think this has been true for a Chiefs defensive lineman since Dee Ford, where he went to his biggest weapon being his get off, being that first explosive step, which is kind of funny because that's also Juwan Taylor's kind of first thing, is that first step is great. I'm intrigued by the Chiefs going to a player that has a little more speed and a little more of that get-off quickness, because you even see it in his highlights, even lined up on the interior. He mentioned that quick step gets him past guards, which is kind of a wild thing to be able to say confidently about a guy who's not built like a traditional defensive tackle. What do you make of the Chiefs kind of maybe getting a slightly different skill set, even though it does fit into a lot of the things they still do like to do?
I go back to you talking about, you know, Joe Cullen and Steve Spagnuolo popping champagne. I mean, that is Joe Cullen's approach. He wants players who can get off the ball quickly and get upfield. I mean, that's his philosophy. So Minnehue absolutely fits into that. I mean, it's easy to say that's a standard thing you'd like to have in a pass rusher.
Sure, yeah, but that's not George Karloftis.
But it's not every pass rusher.
Right.
I mean, some guys are speed guys. Some guys are, you know, power guys. I mean, everybody's got different technique and different skill set. But that ability to get upfield quickly is something that Joe Cullen absolutely craves and prizes. So hearing him say that, I mean, it's another thing that makes you really see why I think he's going to fit in well with the scheme.
And this is kind of dawning on me with you making that point now, is that I think it's kind of nice to just see a team that they've got a vision for kind of their larger plan, but they're not so pigeonholed into one type. Like I still think they should go try to bring in Calais Campbell, right? He could be a machine, just a big, huge dude who's 97 years old and still playing really good football. Did you hear my question? If I asked you my question about Calais Campbell and a Super Bowl?
I did not hear this.
Okay. I'm going to put a pin in it to finish the larger point of the Chiefs aren't completely wed to having just big dudes setting the edge and then hoping Chris Jones is the guy that gets the pressure. Like, they're breaking the mold a little bit from what they've had recently in a Minnehue, while also still having a cohesive vision for everything. I'm encouraged by that. Anyway, Calais Campbell. He has played in a Super Bowl. Do you know which one?
Which Super Bowl that Calais Campbell played in?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would have guessed the one with the Ravens, but...
Yeah, he wasn't there, though.
Wasn't there.
That was before his time in Baltimore.
Gosh, now I'm blanking on... He's been with Baltimore so long.
I know. It's crazy. That's where I think of him being. I think that he spent the most of his career with the team who drafted him.
And now I'm completely blanking on who drafted him.
In the Super Bowl that he played in, his team's leading rusher was Edgerrin James.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Because he played in the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl. I think it was his rookie season with Arizona. 2008, wow. I think.
I forgot about that.
I forgive you.
2008, man.
Yeah, because that's the rabbit hole that I went down was that was it was the 08 season, so the game would have been an 09, I think. Yeah. Edgerrin James is second to last year, but he was the Cardinals' leading rusher that season. Edgerrin James's rookie season was 1999. So Calais Campbell and Edgerrin James overlap their careers. Those two guys get you from 1999 to 2023.
Wow.
That's what I bring to the table.
That's a long time.
That's also the only real... There's not like a better reaction. There's nothing like, oh, you know, wow, Josh, you're so smart and genius for figuring that out. I just...
That's pretty cool, though.
It's
I
pretty
like
wild.
I like that.
I have some really vivid memories of having my heart broken in the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl as I was passionately rooting for the Cardinals due to my general Arizona sort of loose sports affiliation. And that James Harrison touchdown will never leave my mind. I just can't believe that there was a player in that game who I am, like, really hoping the Chiefs sign in 2023. That's a heck of a turnaround. That's Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Joshua Briscoe, Vince McFly with you here in the zone. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, and maybe talk a little more Chiefs. I'm feeling kind of Chiefy. We haven't even talked about Juan Thornhill. We got guys to talk about. Plus, the madness continues here on your home for March Madness Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That was the winning margin.
And it turned out to be the, whether it was the
hold
right.
On, hold on. That's not how this works.
Hold on.
That's not how the math works, Jason. That was not the margin. What are we talking about?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone rolling on here. It's a Friday. It's St. Patrick's Day. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, is here, and Mick Schaefer has rolled in looking like a green beer on legs. Mickey said this is your eighth favorite holiday?
Yeah. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Halloween, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, St. Patrick's Day.
You knew I was going to ask you to rank them, and so you didn't even hesitate. That was unbelievable. I love the bucket hat, although I do wonder how comfortable it is with the headphones.
I can't hear. Very thick material.
It looks like it's well made.
Keep your face from getting like skin cancer.
Can I try it on so I can decide if I want to buy one and copy your style? My head's really big.
I got it at the Phoenix Open down at Super Bowl.
Did you really?
Oh, there you go.
Bad Birdie Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Oh, so this probably isn't even going to be online. It says large, extra large. Here's the thing. I got a big head. I'm not even going to pull it down because I'm going to stretch it. And this is not... I don't want to stretch out your hat. I got a large dome.
I'm literally on the second time I've worn it.
It's pretty solid. I'm going to say that's solid.
I feel like it's probably a good look, but I'm already getting a headache. Yeah, go ahead and put on my green hat, Mick. And Mick looks like he just put on
like a Donald hat.
Who was the Commanders running back? Brian Robinson.
Yes,
with
hat.
The giant hat. That's basically what I have to wear just to cover my head. The challenge we all get through. And Mick has pinched beards. Matt, just make sure you get him on the way out. At some point today, I'll pinch him. The McNipples region next year is going to be a banger.
24 bracket is filling up quickly.
McNipples is Irish.
I'm more worried right now about the McFury. Not the McFlurry, but the McFury of how this bracket has played out so far.
I can't believe that. Yes.
I'm afraid to broach that topic, but we'll probably do it. Maybe even talk about some college basketball.
It's like making KU a 16 seed.
Look, man, I'm sorry. We got it, Tommy, wrong.